The success of this first book motivated Bancroft to write a larger second one, a less well-received three-volume work of fiction entitled The History of Charles Wentworth Esquire, in a series of letters interspersed with a variety of important reflections calculated to improve morality and promote the economy of human life. A veritable hodgepodge of autobiography, philosophy, natural history, travel literature, and dramatic romance, the work revealed that Bancroft himself rejected traditional Christian morality and the concept of free will in favor of what Boyd has termed a doctrine of necessity. Human beings, the brooding philosopher wrote, are slaves to passion, equally undeterred by the promise of redemption or threats of damnation. Nevertheless, truth could be found in the reverence for all that is pleasurable and the rejection of all that is painful. Ironically, in some of this he echoed the very Christian canon he dismissed as folly, specifically the book of Ecclesiastes. Behold, what I have seen to be good and fitting is to eat and drink and find enjoyment in all of the toil with which one toils under the sun the few days of his life that God has given him, for this is his lot. Nevertheless, the little notoriety Bancroft gained from the work was due exclusively to his radical outlook, at least according to John Adams. Given his remarkable talents and interests, it was inevitable that Benjamin Franklin would meet and befriend the by-then-renowned Edward Bancroft while visiting London during the late 1760s. Indeed, it was Franklin who later introduced the enterprising scientist and author, his protege, to the shady world of international politics and land speculation in 1772. Franklin told Bancroft of a plan shortly to be championed in Parliament by Thomas Walpole for a colony along the banks of the once war-ravaged Ohio River Valley. It was to be called Vandalia in honor of Queen Charlotte, who was supposedly descended from the ancient Vandals, and it would make them rich. The scheme was sidetracked due to the rebellion in the colonies, however, as were others for settlements along the Wabash and Illinois. Angry and drunk Rhode Islanders had just burned the English revenue schooner Gaspé in Narragansett Bay in June 1772. Other protests, it seemed, were brewing. Despite the failure of these undertakings, 4 years later, Franklin recommended that they be used as the pretense for a reunion between Edward Bancroft and the revolutionary secret agent his Committee of Secret Correspondence had recently appointed in Paris, Silas Deane. Notably, in the midst of dabbling in Franklin's misadventures, Bancroft made his own and only enduring contribution to science. In 1770, Bancroft traveled to Suriname for a second time, intending to further his study of inks, with which he had recently become fascinated. 3 years later, in a paper addressed to the British Royal Society, Bancroft challenged the orthodox view of his predecessors in the field that the blackness of ink was dependent upon the quality of astringency in vegetables. 3 weeks later, he joined that very society's ranks after a unanimous vote, having been sponsored by Benjamin Franklin, the royal astronomer and the king's physician. The following year, Bancroft gained his doctorate in medicine at Aberdeen and became an authority on dyes in both England and France. Finally, he discovered quercitron, a yellow dye obtained from the bark of the eastern black oak, the year after that obtaining patents for compounds to be used in the printing of woolen fabrics and calico in due course. Thus, Bancroft sat in his residence in Bordeaux on the Atlantic coast of France with fame, fortune, and a terrible case of fever when he received a letter from Silas Deane in June 1776 requesting a meeting in Paris.